11 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace live at the Vanderbilt Legends Club today for Brent Peterson's golf tournament for the Predators Foundation, presented by First Horizon. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick with you. D-Mace will be along here in just a little bit when he's done playing. We say hello now to Teron Davenport, who joins us. He's presented by Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit craneworks.com. And TD, not the conversation I was expecting to have with you today, but the Titans fall to 0-1 after losing 21-20 to the New York Giants yesterday. Dayball goes for two. They get it. They win. And the Titans come away with the loss. A lot of things to unpack from yesterday's game, but I'm going to start with Todd Downing and some of the play calls that he made. I question the Wildcat timing, even though Derrick Henry was the focal point. I question the end around to Chigakonkwo when all you really needed was to hand the ball to Derrick Henry, even though we hadn't seen full-on Derrick Henry yet. I thought he was pretty good, but what did you make of Todd Downing's play calling overall yesterday?
Yeah, well, Todd Downing's in a terrible position because anytime something goes right, the fans are going to say, oh, well, that's Tim Kelly. But once anything goes wrong, they're going to say, oh, that's Todd Downing. So I would hate to be in his spot. As far as the play calling itself, I mean, the Wildcat, it's been a part of something that the Titans have done in short yardage situations. So, I mean, I'm not going to knock them for that. I mean,
I don't hate the Wildcat. I don't hate the Wildcat, TD. I didn't hate
that play.
Well,
yeah, I mean, I'm just sorting through some of the plays. You know what I mean? But that one, you know, some people have knocked him for that, and it's just like, well, that's something that they've gone to. Derek admitted that what happened was he took his eye off the ball. Now, the Okonkwo one, now we could question it. And that's why I asked Mike Vrabel about it after the game, you know, just looking back on it, would you rather just give him the ball to Derrick Henry? And I think sometimes you could get a little cute and try to, you know, do different things. Apparently, from what Mike Vrabel said, that was one of the short yardage plays that they had up and they had really considered for this week, and so that happened. But, I mean, I think overall, the main thing that Todd Downing has to do is get away from that consistency of running the football on first down. And it's easy to say from this perspective, but it's a lot harder to do when you know that Derrick Henry is a guy that typically gets you positive yards or puts you in good situations later on in the series.
All right, TD, I'm going to preface this one by saying I know it's one game and it's the first game, and maybe I'm going to overreact a little bit, but why did they sign Austin Hooper in the offseason? Could you explain that to me? Because Jeff Swaim got more targets at tight end than anybody, and Austin Hooper had one catch for 6 yards.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I really felt that Austin Hooper was going to be a guy that was going to be a main part of the passing game. And like you said, it is one game. A couple of those passes to Swaim, because I think they ran the screen twice. And I remember a few times during training camp, you know, seeing them run that screen to him. And I looked at someone else, and they looked at me and were like, I don't know if that's that's necessarily the person you want to run that to. He did get a good gain, a 9-yard gain. I would imagine that was a Okonkwo or Hooper that might have, especially a Okonkwo, that would have been a longer gain. But you're right. You know, one target coming on that last drive, you got to find ways to get Hooper the ball more, and I'm sure that's something that they're going to address.
Yeah, because I just feel like he can be a big part of this offense, and we know that Ryan Tannehill likes to check down. Treylon Burks was targeted 5 times, had 3 catches for 55 yards. When he was on the field, hey, I liked what I saw. I didn't understand why he wasn't on the field later in the game when you really needed a big play threat. I know Kyle Phillips was having a good game. They were going to him. But what did you think overall about Treylon Burks?
Yeah, this is one of the times where I'll give credit to Todd Downing, because – you know, he had that first get him a touch, right? It's really important just to get your guys touches early in that 7-yard gain. You know, he had Burks come in jet motion and leak out into the flat. Tannehill dumped it to him. That was a good opportunity. And then he had the play action pass, which was, I think, was 27 yards. I think that was the biggest gain the Titans had in the game itself, you know. And those are ways you could get him the football. He showed that, you know, he's a guy that will come through for you. So, I think he was targeted, what, five times and came down with three of them.
Yeah,
definitely solid for him.
Teron Davenport is with us. So, Teron, as you looked at the three big plays that the Giants got, the two runs by Barkley and the long pass to Sterling Shepard, I mean, obviously, in this day and age, we know the trend is if you can avoid too many of those plays, your chances of winning go way, way up. The defense played a pretty good game other than those three plays, you could argue. So where were the breakdowns there?
Yeah, so it looked like on the Barkley one, he was able to get outside, and there was a cutback for him, and he was able to cut it back, and I think it was Hooker that was right there on the run, and he was able to cut it back, and cut it outside, I think it was, and he hit the boundary, and he just took off, and Byard kind of saved it. The other one, are you talking about the 19-yard run to the right side?
No, the 33-yard run that set up the tying touchdown and then what ended up being the go-ahead two-point conversion.
Oh, yeah. That one to the left. That was one of the, I mean, he just simply found the crease. And you know, when you're a guy like Barkley who had that acceleration, you know, you could pull away. So that's really what happened there. And then the Sterling Shepard touchdown, I actually talked to Fulton about that after the game. And it's a tough play. And, you know, obviously Fulton could have done better. He got caught looking in the backfield, looking at the quarterback. And that's one of those plays. It's like the backside of the play, right? You had the three receivers on the right. And it's kind of like designed to go that direction. And you rarely see the quarterback, like, throw back against like that, especially that far down the field. And that's kind of what happened. And if you remember, Shepard kind of like made a move like he was cutting across and then went up the field. And it was just one of those situations where it just happened so quickly. And next thing you know, Fulton was, way behind Shepard. And that's how you got the touchdown.
Yeah, and there was nobody around either. It was one-on-one for sure. So, Teron, I tweeted out a little sequence there on the two-point conversion where it really looked to me like Denico Autry was being held. But you could also argue that the face mask was grabbed a little bit by who was it, the personnel? Cole?
Yeah.
It was Dylan
Cole.
Cole.
Because Cole shot up there, it looked like he had a chance to get Saquon Barkley there at about the 4 or 5 yard line. I still think Autry could have been there at the one, ready to meet him with a couple of players to help him. But can you first of all straighten out for some people? I got a lot of reaction to that tweet. One of them was, "Why is Cole in the game?" But you can maybe help explain that personnel package down on the goal line. They have extra linebackers in it. It's not like they took Lawrence Taylor out and put Cole in, but he's an extra guy in there for that package, right?
Yeah. You know, Carl Banks was up there in the booth, you know, so he and Lawrence Taylor, they weren't available. you're right. It is the package, right? And Dylan Cole is typically, you know, one of the guys that, you know, it's kind of like a thumper. They like to bring him in. He's good at the film, you know, run fills and all that stuff. And unfortunately, in that situation, he wasn't able to get it done. But that wasn't like something where you would say, hey, that was terrible, execution of the personnel and everything. Nothing was, they had the right package out there.
I did think Autry was held pretty clearly. I had another friend of mine send me a little shot of that 33-yard run you were just talking about that got them down there, that it looked like you could call a hold there. Brewer was called for two earlier in the half. There was one on Treylon Burks during the kick return, which was about a 50-yard play, a 50-yard swing, where it was tic-tac. I could see what they called, though. So I didn't think they got a great distribution of the holdings, where, of course, we all know you could probably call a ton of holdings if you want to. But the way it shook out, I thought the Titans came up on the short end there.
Yeah, and you can kind of see why a lot of Titans fans, they don't like the Jerome Bogard crew because there always seems to be this kind of stuff with it. But, you know, that being said, you got to play through all that. And, you know, unfortunately the Titans didn't do that. And there are other things I think were major factors in the loss, you know, but it's always a little more difficult when you're kind of going against the grain as far as getting calls for you.
Teron, let me ask one more for you, Teron, because Mike Vrabel didn't really share a lot of detail, but I don't know if going through the locker room you got a little more explanation. What happened after Phillips made the great catch to get him down there and they had to take the last time out because they just took way too long to get the play in and get set there? But that was costly.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely was costly, and I did ask about that because I was confused myself just as far as what happened. And basically what it was is they were trying to get the ball on the opposite hash there for Bullock to kick it. And then there was a timeout called, and I'm just confused because I know Tannehill kind of scrambled to the right to get it on there. So, okay, so that's what happened. So they called the timeout so that they could reset it onto the other hash. That's
right.
What happened there.
But they were going to take a delay of game. Like they should have run that play. They had a chance to run a play and then call a timeout.
Yeah.
And they took way too long to get to the huddle. Well, I don't know about the end. You don't need the end zone, but if you got five more yards, that becomes an even easier field goal. And instead they end up taking the timeout and going 3 yards back to set the ball.
Yeah, you make it an easier field goal for your kicker. I think that's something that you always want to do. And I was surprised that they didn't do that because, I mean, look, you know, in this day and age, a 47-yard field goal should absolutely be, you know, a high-percentage makeable kick, you know, and especially Bullock was drilling those consistently in camp. But I still feel that what you need to do is increase your probability, increase your chances by getting closer. So you're right there. I'm not sure why you would take the delay. Like, I wouldn't by any means try to push it into a 50-yard field goal attempt. You know, that's not the direction I would have went. But, you know, I'm watching and they're coaching. So I'm sure they had their reasons that they felt were valid.
All right, TD, I know you're headed to the facility for the press conference, but I got one more for you. This is not an indictment of Aaron Brewer, even though he got called for a couple of questionable holding calls, but he did get called for two penalties. But how much did the run game miss Roger Saffold yesterday? Because I thought that Henry looked okay. He did not look in tip-top Derrick Henry form yet. People say the slow start, that's a lame excuse, but it's a fact. But I think Saffold was greatly missed in the run protection.
Yeah, he was missed. I mean, I'm not going to say all of the times that Henry was hit behind the line of scrimmage were on Brewer or even most of them. I'm going to go back and you know, look at some of the end zone part of it to really get a better feel for that. But, I mean, you could definitely say that Saffold was missed because he was probably their best run blocker. But there were a few times where, you know, some other things factored in. You had some guys coming off the edge. And you got to remember this Wink Martindale, you know, he kind of has the – I don't want to say the formula, but he has, like, the layout, you know, as far as, you know, those safeties up there mugging the gaps. And, I mean, he didn't do as much of the overload blitzes or stuff like that, but he still did, you know, some run blitzes to get there and get to Henry behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, in the first half, 34 of his 56 yards came after contact. So that lets you know right there that he was consistently getting hit, you know, behind the line of scrimmage.
All right, TD, appreciate the time. We'll be listening to some of the questions that you have to ask Mike Vrabel coming up at noon, but appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, for sure. Appreciate you guys. Enjoy the golf.